we have a tremendous Father, huh? And Lord. So I want to today start out with Psalm 25. Because that's where the verse is about seek your face. Psalm 25. My sharing today, I'm calling it, where is the right road? Where's the path? Where's the right road? Because I think that's a really huge question that almost everyone has in their life, no matter whether they're a brand new believer or they've been a believer for 35, 45, 50 years. It's like, where is the path? You know, I want to seek God's face. I want to hear his voice. I want to have that relationship with him, but sometimes I can't find it, you know. And so I think that what I want to share today are just some little keys to helping us to understand where is the right road. How do I find it? So let's start in verse 1 of Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Who has the ESV? Jake, yeah. Will you read it in there?
Sure. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
Oh, okay. I thought it was different. Mom's, yours is different.
To you, O Lord, I pray.
To you, O Lord, I pray. Okay, so if I'm lifting up my soul, it's kind of a King Jamesy way of saying, you know, I just want this. I don't know how to get it, but I'm going there. I'm praying. I'm asking. And so David is saying, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Oh my God, I do trust in you. We're saying that to God right now, right? Just kind of put yourself in this psalm for a minute. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Remember that whole teaching series thing we did on waiting, where waiting means to entwine your heart together with God's. You know, it's not just waiting where you're twiddling your thumbs. Da, 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 da. I'm waiting. Okay, where's the answer? No, it's we've got to entwine our hearts together with God's too first. And they that wait on thee will not be ashamed. Then verse 4, there's the verse, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Isn't that what God said in the manifestation? He knew us long before we could ever think about, we ever thought about him at all. And he will love us for all eternity. His loving kindness will stay forever. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness sake, O Lord. So let's go back to this verse about show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. There's two words here, and they're completely different words. The first one is, show me thy ways, okay? The word show means to just make known to me thy ways. So that's a prayer we can have too, right? Where we're praying, Father, show me your ways. Lord, show me your ways. Your ways. Okay, keep your finger here and go to Isaiah 55. Because this is probably a familiar verse, but this is the one where verse 8 of Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It goes, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we know that too. We know God's ways are better, they're higher, they're greater than our ways. But still, it's like, how do you find that out? The ways of God, okay, we got to keep reading if we're going to find out what the ways of God are. So go back to verse 8 of Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. So there are some ways of his. He's good. He's upright. He's righteous, right? Before that, it was talking about his tender mercies and loving kindness. Those are qualities and characteristics of God that are part of his ways. If God is has tender mercy, then he can't be any different than that. That's his way. And if we're praying a prayer and we say, show me your ways, well, one of the things that we're praying is, show me your loving kindness. Show me what your love is all about. Show me what it means to love, how to love. What is loving kindness? See? Okay, keep going. Verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Oh. Okay. Well, if I want to be shown God's ways, then I have to get meek. And part of that, see, is just realizing that his thoughts are higher than mine. His ways are higher than mine. So to be meek, actually, you just set yourself under there and go, God, I don't know about love. I want to know about your love. Will you please teach me? So then this is so wonderful. It's verse 10, all the paths, and that's the same word, way, okay? The ways of the Lord are mercy and truth. And those two words right there are loving kindness and faithfulness. So it's like God is summing up and saying his ways are all wrapped up with loving kindness and faithfulness unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So this word here is the word road. Just like the second one in verse 4, teach me thy path. I wish they had kept them consistent, you know, so then you could know which one was which. Because show me thy ways, that's the Hebrew word, if you want to know it, is called derech. And the word path is called orka. And this verse, verse 12, him shall he teach in the path that he shall choose. So God has these ways, okay? He has the overall ways. We've seen that they're filled with loving kindness, mercy, faithfulness. Oh man, you could, you know, just go on and on about faithfulness for a long time, right? There's that really cool song that Hillsong did called Show Me Thy Ways. And the part in there is about the cry of my heart is to love you more. And that's pretty much the whole song. It's just, show me your ways. You know, show me your ways. But when you see God's ways, okay, and we see that they are mercy, tenderness, kindness, faithfulness, and all that, it's still a question. Where's the road? How do you get there? Where's the path? See? And the key right here in verse 12 is that he that feareth the Lord, him shall he teach in the path. So there's an element of respect or awe or fear. Again, where we acknowledge that God's ways are higher than ours. So we set our lives underneath them, underneath that. And seek what his way is. Seek him to teach us, because the answer is going to come from him. And it goes on and says this, keep going in verse 13. His soul shall dwell at ease, his seed shall inherit the earth. Oh man, what great promise. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So there the word show is the same, show me thy ways. And the word secret there means an intimate counsel. The intimate counsel of the Lord is with them that fear him. So if we want to have a relationship, we want to have intimacy with God, we want to have this closeness with Him, then it's going to be because of awe, because of meekness. And I found a really cool definition of intimacy. It said it's marked by close association or acquaintance and relating to one's deepest nature. And other definitions have to do with it's a personal relationship, right? But it's close. If you have intimacy with a person, you know, even a friend, then it's close. You know, you can't have intimacy if they're clear on the other side of the city and you never talk to them. Mm-hmm. Right? It has to be close. And that was also the part about seek your face, right? That's in Psalm 27 is where the verse is about seek my face. Verse 8. When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Mm-hmm. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. There's the way again. And lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Now, this is the first place here. Now, it was telling us a little bit about the road, okay? This road that God has, it's a level road. It's plain. It's not hard to find, okay? That's really, really important. Because I think that the Christians live their whole lives and can't find the path. Mm-hmm. Serious. I know some. It's not, they love God with all their hearts. They have a lot of wonderful things. They have a relationship, you know. They have Christ in them. But they don't know how to access that and live by it. All right, so there's the seeking your face. And I love that part about the intimate counsel, though. Okay, go back to that verse 14. The intimate counsel of the Lord is with them that fear Him. All right, look at John 14. I want you to go over there. Because we said, I was talking about how you have Christ in you, right?
Yeah, right.
That is where it's different than the Psalms. So the psalm is David, you know, reaching out his heart, and he had a relationship with God, but not everybody around him did. And during that time was when they had the tabernacle or the temple, and the road to God was actually pretty closed. Very few people could go there. And so David is saying, well, I'm doing this, and this is what you should do too, but really, nobody knew how to get there. So look at John 14. This is also a very famous verse. It says, Jesus said unto him, because Thomas was asking him, where is the way? Verse 5, read that. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know the road? Where is the road? Right? So Jesus said unto him, I am the road. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So he said he was the road. So when I was thinking about this verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here, pass these out. You can pass these around. So I had done this chart a long time ago with when we did the red thread teachings. And I was just going to, I thought it would be easier for you to just see it. I'm not going to really talk that much about the tabernacle itself. But the tabernacle actually is a picture of the way, of the road. And the three entrances to the different areas of the tabernacle were called the way, the truth, and the life. So the gate Did you? There isn't any more?
You guys have more.
No,
oh, sorry. Okay, so the initial entrance to the tabernacle was surrounded by a big outside court, right? And it had curtains all around it. And you had to go in at the entrance. It was really a very large entrance, but that was called the way. That door was called the way. And everyone's had to go through there to begin with, okay? So that's the part about there is no salvation in any other name except the name of Jesus Christ. You have to go through that gate in order to get into the presence of God. There is no other way, okay? And we all believe that. What's the very first thing that you see when you get into the outer court, the court?
The altar.
The altar, which exactly is the first thing that everyone needs to come to when they come to God, is you have to accept his salvation. You have to accept the offering, the one-time offering that God gave in Jesus Christ for us. That's what the whole altar is all about. He was in all the offerings. We're all about Jesus Christ. How he was the burnt offering. He was the perfect lamb, right, that was sacrificed for us. So that's the first thing you see. What's the next one?
The laver.
Okay, the laver is where the priests would wash their hands and they would get cleansed. Okay, what's part of our cleansing? What is the cleansing?
Forgiveness
of sins, right? Because once you accept Christ as the sacrifice, the next thing is that your sins are forgiven and you can walk in forgiveness of sins every day, all day, right? So you start to see this as a path. Okay, the next door, though, is called the truth. And this was what separated the outer court from the holy place. And there were three things in the holy place. There was the showbread, there was the table of the showbread, the menorah, which was the lamp, and then the altar of incense. And you see how there were two on each side, one on the right and one on the left, and then the altar of incense was right before the door, the next door, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the table of the showbread, what's bread to us?
The body.
Body,
yeah. What else? Like, what do you eat?
Life.
The bread of life is the word.
The
words were found and I did eat them. Mm-hmm. Okay, bread represents the knowledge, the understanding of God from his word. And light, okay, that's more about, you know, how you walk in light. Yeah, how God is light, in him is no darkness. He's the one who illuminates the path, right? Okay, but what's really interesting is that you get then to the altar of the incense. So does anybody know what that one represents? Incense. What does incense represent?
Prayers.
It represents the prayers that go up to God. So you have the word and the light of the word and the light of truth. And it comes to, right before you get to the Holy of Holies, is prayers. And many, many, many of us are there where we love the word. We rejoice in the word. We spend a lot of time in the holy place. Really. And we spend a lot of time praying. I mean, we had some awesome answers to prayer this week. Ken got a job. Josh passed his CBEST test. We were praying for this little young girl, baby that just got born, that had an enlarged heart, and the heart just started shrinking. And the doctors were calling him a miracle baby. There was a nurse in the neonatal nursing station where the baby was. Said in all the 10 years that she'd worked there, she had never seen anything like it. And just because of prayer. So prayer is so powerful. I am not in any way minimizing these three things in the holy place. But what I am saying is that there's another door, and that's the life. And that's the one that got opened when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that allowed every single person to come into the Holy of Holies to be able to fellowship directly with God. So you see if you look at that chart, you can see you could stop at any place along the road. And I know beautiful, beautiful intercessors. I mean, they spend the majority of their life praying. And yet they don't go that next part into where to have the intimate counsel, the relationship with God directly. Because that's why he sent Jesus Christ, was so that we could fellowship with him. We could be close. In your face, right? Mm-hmm. Seek my face. Well, you got to go there. And that's why that prayer is so wonderful about seek ye, show me your ways. Teach me the path. Well, the path is in Jesus Christ. So we see that. Now let's go back to Psalm 86, because it's a little bit, just a few more keys here. I was talking to somebody this week and was talking about, okay, well, how do you hear God's voice? You know, how do you have this relationship with him? Sometimes it's not so apparent how to hear. And my answer to them was, it's not coming from the outside. Our relationship with God is not like he's out here and somehow you have to hear something he's saying from out here. Christ is within us. All the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. God in Christ in you, right? It becomes a whole complete inner man inside. So there's ears behind our outside ears. There's touch behind our outside touch. There's eyes behind our outside eyes. That's how God speaks to us. When we say, speak to me, Lord, we're meaning, attune my ear to that inner ear. Attune my ear, my outside ear, to my inner ear. And let me hear. Look at Psalm 86. Verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. There's the way again. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And this, the reason I want to read this verse is because unite my heart means to not have a divided heart. Don't let my heart be divided. If you just stop for a moment, okay, and look up at me. If you're looking at me, and you hear my words, right? They just go in, and then you know something. Your mind takes the words that you hear, and you just know. That's the same way with God, only it's coming from the inside out. So just close your eyes now and say to God, God, are you there? And listen. With your inside ear. What did he say?
Yes.
I'm always here. That's how it can start, though. Then the next time you ask him, you could say to him, I love you, Lord. And almost immediately he'll go, I love you too. But it starts the conversation. But it wasn't that hard, was it? Mm-mm. It was the inside ear. That's where the Holy of Holies is. It's not some building. It's not some fellowship. It's not some anything outside.
Right.
It's in. It's in here, in our hearts, in our our inner eyes. So wherever we go, all day long, we can have this close relationship with God, because everything we are looking at, we can see with spiritual eyes. We can hear with spiritual ears. We go to the grocery store and you see somebody walking down there and they need help with something or other. God will show you just like that. He'll show you in your inner eyes and you'll know what to say. That's where the road is. And I was thinking about an illustration, how, you know, well, one time Glenn and I were up in Oregon and we got completely lost, and all we had was our big road atlas. You know, the old way of trying to find your way. And I was thinking about this. We were doing so bad, but we ended up going the completely wrong direction and not being able to find the road at all. Like, somehow it wasn't there. The map said it was there, but it wasn't there. And then I thought about the little cool thing when you turn on your phone and it tells you where you are, right? So it's pretty hard to get lost because you can see where you are. So even if you are lost, it's showing you where you're lost, right? And that's what God does. It doesn't matter where we are on the path or how we are there. God knows where we are. And so he can go right from that spot to show us how to get to the next place. Mm-hmm. Now here's the other, let me see, I got one more verse here. 85, go back to 85. Verse 7. Show me, I love that word, shoe. Show. You would shoo me. show me your mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. That's part of the undivided heart, is that we trust that what God speaks to us will bring peace. We have to believe that his path is the one that's the right one and that it is easy to find. You see how your heart could get divided? You go, because this is what happens to most people. Not most people, just some people. And maybe it's happened to you. I know it's happened to me. Where I ask God a question, I go, what do I do about this? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing about this. And I hear nothing. Has that happened to you? The reason why I'm hearing nothing is because my heart's divided. It's not because I don't want to listen, really, and it's not because I'm not trying to listen, but my heart is divided and I'm asking too big of a question. So I need to make the question down into bite-sized pieces. Just like I was showing you, you start out with, God, are you there? Oh, yeah, I'm here. Do you love me? Yes, I love you so much. Then instead of, why can't I hear you? It's like, I need to know how to get my heart peaceful right now. And then, bam, there's the answer. I need to know what to read in the Word right now so that I can start to hear you, because somehow something is blocking me. And he will gently lead you down a path to where then he can tell you the answer to this big, huge, overall question that you had trouble hearing. Because it's a relationship. It's like the GPS. You were out here, right? But God knew, so he knows how to get us back so that we can see the real questions that we have, and everybody has them, of things that are really important that are hard to hear. That's where the joy is. That's where the prayer, we can go go straight through the veil, that last doorway. It's completely open. We're praying. We're going, Father, show me your ways. Teach me your path. And he's going, there it is, right there. Just come to me. Just come to me. Start talking to me. And then hear with your inner ear. And don't let anything stop that. Don't let the world stop it. Don't let pressure stop it. Don't let our time get stolen away. Don't let anything stop that development of that relationship. And just like a person, you know, you don't get to know everything about them the first day, right? It's a process. But you come close. Everywhere you look, then, you see God's face. Everywhere. Because if you're looking with the inside eyes and you're hearing with the inside ears, then he will speak to us words that are so beautiful and help us to understand where is the right road. It's always in Christ, directly to the heart of God. So, that's it.
Yeah. We printed out these song sheets. You can have a look.